Penny Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Carolina, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. I've just been waiting here for 2 hours. I thought, was everything okay?
Everything was fine. We said 12 o'clock, didn't we?
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock.
Is it? Oh, my watch is 2 hours slow.
You have to get that fixed.
My apologies. And I usually remember when I wear this watch, remember, Ronnie, this one's 2 hours slow. So keep that in mind.
I can help you get that fixed, or we can get you a new one.
I don't know. It's kind of a little superstitious. I'm like a ball player, you know, that way where, hey, if it ain't broke,
it is broken.
It's just run slow. That's it. Because I'm afraid they're going to take a look underneath the hood, so to speak, and replace it with Chinese parts or something.
All right.
I don't know. Regardless, we're here. We're queer. Get used to it. Right? Which is a classic saying from the Revolutionary War times. I'd like to open up the old mailbag and pick out some letters from our fans.
We have a mailbag? Did someone give us? I didn't know that we had one.
Hello, Carolina. Back from the beach.
What?
Yes, we have a mailbag. Of course, we have a mailbag. We've always had a mailbag. This is a real podcast, you know. I get a lot of letters about all kinds of subjects. Furniture repair, dog grooming, skincare, bookbinding, chemistry. I've been asked how to pick combination locks, how to make your own lumber mill, how to make love is a popular question, of course, and how to be classy, just to name a few. So I try and respond to every letter I get with at least 10 to 15 pages, but some subjects deserve a whole book. And believe me, I'm working on it. When I'm done, I'll have a whole encyclopedia, 28 volumes of information on just about everything under the sun.
Uh-oh.
Look out, Wiki Wacky. I'm coming for you. 28 or 29 volumes weighing over 140 pounds of solid book weight, leather bound and available on the installment plan. The Ron Burgundy Encyclopedia will have so much information, you'll never need to look at your phone again.
I'm so sorry. You're writing an encyclopedia?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. And how far have you gotten?
I don't know. If I had to guess, maybe 50,000 pages.
Wait, 50,000 pages?
Well, I mean, they need to be typed up. We're talking to my tape recorder almost every day.
Okay.
While I'm driving or playing golf or at the movies, in the supermarket, even when I'm sleeping.
You talking to a tape recorder at the movies?
Mm-hmm. Sure. You never know when a great idea or some knowledge is going to pop into your brain. You have to be ready to get it down. So I've recorded reams and reams of information, and someone just needs to type it up. Ta-da! Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Encyclopedia. Yes.
Okay.
So, but I'm getting off subject, which I hate to do.
That's true.
Back to the mailbag. Let's see here. Here is a letter I got only last week from one of my fan club premium gold members.
Wait, do people pay to be in your fan club?
Uh-huh.
There's premium gold. There's different levels.
And premium gold is the top level. We may start platinum next fall. But right now, it's premium gold.
Yeah.
And you get all the perks that come with premium gold. Dear Ron, my name is Timmy Wilson, and I'm 11 years old. And next week, me and some of my friends are going camping.
Aww.
Ah, that's adorable, right?
Yeah.
I've never been camping. My father is a pussy who works in an office making coffee and eating donuts and doesn't have time for me or my sister.
Mm.
He can't even throw a football or ride a bike or do anything. He mainly sits in a chair at home and watches news, and I guess I love him, but sometimes I think he's not my real father because my mother s**ps around a lot.
Oh, no.
Anyway, if you have any tips on camping, I sure would like it because my dad is a real who never mows the lawn or fixes anything and doesn't know a thing about anything fun. Your friend, Timmy Wilson.
Is he okay? Oh, my God. What was that letter?
Well, it was in the premium gold. He's a premium gold member, so he's got to be doing pretty good. Timmy, You're in luck because I know just about everything you need to know about camping and outdoor life. And today I'm going to give you some fast tips that'll make you look like a real little outdoorsman. Your friends will think you must have some kind of great father, even if you and I know he's a real d**k. So without further ado, here's the Ron Burgundy Ultimate Short Guide to Camping. And I say short guide because there's a book coming, but it's several years away.
Oh, that's on the tape recorder?
That's on the, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, today I have a simple list of five things you'll need for any camping trip. Carolina, are you ready?
What? Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back with that after these messages. Right. We'll be right back after these messages. Ah, and we are back on the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Carolina, you got your head in the game?
I don't know why you keep checking with me. Yes.
I'm doing a camping to-do list for one of our Premium Gold Fan Club members.
Timmy Wilson.
Yes. Does that sound good?
Sorry. I thought we were going to interview Richard Dreyfuss today.
Dreyfuss will have to wait. Okay. This Timmy Wilson camping situation needs immediate attention. Call Dreyfuss up and, you know, do one of your lies.
Okay? One of my lies?
Don't play dumb over there. You're a classic liar. Your mouth is like a lying factory, assembling lie after lie after lie. So don't play dumb with me.
Okay, camping tips for little Timmy Wilson.
Never said he was little. Camping tip number one. Timmy, if you're going to go camping, the first thing you'll need to buy is a good RV. Preferably a 26-footer, but you can go as small as 14 and still haul a boat trailer without too much trouble. Without a solid recreational vehicle, Timmy, camping will be a real show.
Isn't he 11?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
No one wants to put up a tent and sleep on the dirt. That's for long hairs and Civil War reenactors, not for real campers. A good RV will have at least 8 power outlets for the usual camping supplies. Stove, toaster, blender, emergency radio, pleasure radio, TV, and wine refrigerator. I prefer the longer 26 to 40 foot RVs because you get the large living room area for entertaining and watching the game. Don't cheap out and look for an old school bus. That's not camping. That's called being in a rock and roll band, and it has nothing to do with the appreciation of nature.
I'm sorry, what's pleasure radio?
Pleasure radio is just for, you know, listening to music stations.
Okay.
Yeah. And then emergency radio, you just keep dialed to more AM news stations, or you can keep it on like an emergency frequency.
Okay.
For emergency information.
Okay.
Or you can get a Bobcat scanner. All right. Tip number two, skip the big parks. As an American, I couldn't be more proud of our great national park system with all its many glorious parks, from Yellowstone to Big Bend, from Sequoia to the Everglades. We live in the 8th greatest country in the world, and I actually get choked up thinking about our national parks.
Ron, are you okay? Is it the nature?
I'm okay. I just get a little choked up when I think about a majestic bald eagle soaring on the wings of freedom, or a large mouth bass as it leaps from a cool lake. The call of the wolves and the cry of the bobcat. We live in a great country.
You said it was the 8th greatest country in the world.
8th greatest country, yes. But number 8 is pretty high up. However, it's better to park the RV in a state park where there are few rules and regulations, if you get my drift. You're going to want to keep the music and wine flowing late into the night, and those national parks can be a real wet blanket for fun. Sometimes I'll park in a Walmart parking lot. That way you're right next to supplies, and you tend to meet all kinds of interesting folks in a Walmart parking lot late at night. And I can tell you from experience, though, do not start a fire in a Walmart parking lot. That's a big no-no. Just something to keep in mind. Tip number 3. If you're going to steal picnic baskets, look out for those sneaky park rangers. The number one crime in all national and state parks, and people don't know this, is picnic basket theft.
Wow.
And as fun as it is to snag a picnic basket and run from a ranger, the consequence can be fatal. Gun-happy park rangers are taught to shoot first and ask questions later if they suspect a basket robbery. That said, there's nothing more exhilarating than grabbing a basket of sandwiches and potato salad and making a break for it. I've probably stolen over 100 baskets in it. It never gets old.
You've stolen 100 picnic baskets?
100 at least picnic baskets. Yes. In fact, there's one family I target every July when they go up to Yosemite for their family reunion. So see you soon, Mr. and Mrs. Anderson. Tip number four, wear a suit. Most people who go camping think camping means never looking good. I've seen men and women out there wearing the same pair of shorts for days. No socks, no vests, no jackets, just t-shirts and shorts. Sometimes they're barefoot, if you can believe it. It's probably the way you dress when you go camping, Carolina.
Well, yeah. I mean, I like camping and I dress pretty casual because you're going to get dirty anyway. So why get all dolled up, you know?
Oh, boy. Hope no one is listening out there. Don't listen to Carolina. Camping is no time to skimp on style and class. You can wear a suit. They make nice leisure suits with plenty of stretch and bold colors for outdoor living. It doesn't have to be a three-piece suit, although I prefer all three pieces, but you really should wear a suit. The only time you wouldn't wear a suit, of course, is when you go for a swim in the lake or the
ocean. Because you wear a bathing suit.
Wrong again, young lady. Tip number four, always swim in the nude when you're out in the wild.
Well.
Always. It's invigorating and liberating and makes you feel at one with nature. When your hidden parts are free, you feel free. It's that simple.
It's probably illegal, though. You know, this. We just have to keep in mind what we're telling Timmy because he's 11.
Uh-huh.
And we told him to buy an RV and to wear a suit,
right.
A three-piece suit. And now we're telling him to, you know, get naked in a national park.
Okay, well, then I'm also happy to tell Timmy this. If it's illegal to be free and wild, then what kind of constitution did George Washington write?
Does he say we're supposed to be free and wild?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Because I don't know how you feel, but I don't want to live in a country where men and women can't swim in the nude and sunbathe in the nude and walk through town nude. I just don't. And Timmy, if you're listening, and I know you are, if you're listening out there, never be afraid to take your clothes off and walk around town. It's the best advice I can give.
I just want to know that Timmy's okay. I mean, his dad's a p***, his mom's a p***.
Tip number five. When telling ghost stories around the fire at night, remember the sound effects. Ghost stories are not scary without proper sound effects. Here's an example. I could hear each footstep as the headless man slowly comes up the stairwell towards my room. Creak, creak, squeak, creak. See, with the proper sound effect, the storytelling is elevated. It puts you right in the scene. You try, Carolina. Do the footsteps.
Creak, creak, creak.
Holy shit, that's terrible. It sounds like you're singing.
I'm sorry.
That's not scary at all. Here's one. Inside the walls, I could hear the hideous sound of the cold beating heart. Ba-dump, 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 ba-dump. Huh? Pretty scary, right? It's not just the storytelling, it's the sound effects. People will jump out of their skin. Here's a cat sound I make.
Meow.
Tell me that doesn't scare the shit out of you, Carolina.
That was really good.
Okay, you try a cat sound.
Okay. Meow.
Oh my God, note to self, do not invite Carolina to the ghost storytelling time around the fire. Seriously, how about this? You call out the ghost story sound effect you want to hear, and I'll give it to you, okay? I'll give it to you good.
Okay. Creaky door. Witch.
Hey, I'm an old witch, and I eat children.
Demon dog howl.
Oh, good one. Ooh!
Rattling chains.
Skittle, 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 skittle.
Oh, my God. blood-curdling scream.
Oh!
Eating human flesh.
Yum. Scrummy. Yum,
oh,
yum,
my God.
Scrumlicious.
Ghost noise.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. I need to stop.
Yes. This, oh, my God.
This stuff's getting too scary. But I think you see what I mean, right?
Okay. Yeah. That was terrifying.
When you add great sound effects to your ghost stories, I mean, it really will make you the hit of the camp. And you know, that's about it for camping tips. Now, Timmy, get out there and have fun. All right. Carolina, what's next from the old mailbag?
Well, okay, so the thing is that we don't have a mailbag or a fan club. I don't even know where you got that letter from that little kid, because that's such a messed up life.
Oh, from Timmy?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then it's on to the next segment. I'd say the podcast is humming along just fine. When we get back, we'll play our celebrated animal name song. And welcome back to the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Let me just take a pause here and ask Carolina a question.
Shoot.
Have you ever thought that some animal names were just stupid?
What do you mean?
Like the names we call animals, like dog and moose and shark. Like who came up with these names?
I don't know who came up with any names, you know? They're just part of the language, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's pretty random, you know? I mean, why don't we call dogs skoinks?
Have you been... Are you smoking pot? I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on.
Or sharks. Wouldn't a better name be jagoons?
I just feel like if you called sharks jagoons, people wouldn't know what you were talking about.
And well, that's why we have to change things, to get it right. Raccoon isn't right at all, but... Double wince? That is. See what I'm saying?
I don't really.
Name an animal with a bad name.
Woodpecker.
Oh, right. That's a terrible name. It should be called a Lanceroy.
Okay, how about an elephant?
I wouldn't want to change that one. They nailed that one. But an eagle? I mean, give me a break. An eagle should be called a Tantamort. See?
This is fun. What about a coyote?
Awful name. Just awful. We should be calling coyotes charnips. That's what they look like. You try one. How about a cat?
I would call a cat a grabble tit.
Wonderful, Carolina. A grabble tit is the best name ever for a cat. How about a pig?
My new name for a pig is a gaunt.
Nice. We'll start calling pigs gaunts today. There are so many names we can change. Animals have stupid names. Let's make them new. It's a fun thing to do. Let's change the names of animals. Like monkey.
Panjerty.
Or lizard.
Fanferty.
Or even a vampire bat.
Snackle rat.
Let's change all the names. It's a fun, fun game. Let's change the names of animals.
Oh my goodness.
Wasn't that fun? We'll be right back after this. All right, we're back to the Ron Burgundy Podcast. Well, Carolina, we've done it again. No guests, me talking, you listening, a complete show.
Actually, we're a little short, Ron.
Short? No, it's impossible. I got a custom-made Rolex Aviation Special Edition timepiece that hasn't missed a second of its life, guaranteed. See?
Isn't that the watch that says that
yeah,
that's you're 2 hours
watch.
Late?
Yeah, it's a Rolex.
Okay. Rolex is spelled with one L and an X at the end. So what's...
Not mine. Okay. Mine is spelled R-O-L-L-E-K-S.
So that's not a Rolex. That's actually some kind of knockoff.
How dare you? I bought this legitimately from a guy who desperately needed a bus ticket to get back to his wife and kids who were being held at gunpoint by Russian agents.
Oh, that sounds like a scam.
Carolina, who in their right mind would make up a story like that to just try and get $2,000.
You paid $2,000 for that watch?
I did, and I lent him my car. The situation seemed pretty desperate. I mean, Russian agents? Can you imagine your family being held by Russian agents and not being able to help?
Wait, you lent this guy your car. When was this?
About, oh, let's see, 8 years ago.
And has he returned the car?
Not yet. He will.
Okay.
He left me his name and number, and it's right here in my wallet. Let's hear. Justin Bleiber, 496-157-435.
Okay, yes, that sounds legit. You did not get taken for $2,000 and your car. I am sorry.
No need to apologize to me. It's Mr. Bleiber you should apologize to.
Well, even though that's a legit Rolex watch, we are still short on time.
I've got an idea. Let's show our listeners my one-of-a-kind legendary knife collection.
It's a podcast, so we can't really show them anything.
Well, you describe the knives, and I'll tell people a little bit about each one. When I worked in radio, we had to paint pictures for our audience all the time. So you can do it. It'll be fun.
Okay, sure. I guess if it gets us through the show, where is this one-of-a-kind knife collection?
Where I always keep it in the trunk of my car.
Okay.
So I'll just go get it, and we can take a break.
Do you need help carrying them?
Okay, here we go.
Oh my god. Oh my god. You keep all of those knives in the trunk of your car?
Yes, I do. I need them in the trunk because I have to take them to knife shows all over Southern California to display and trade with other knife collectors. It's a hobby, and I enjoy it. Pick one. Anyone.
Okay, that one.
Oh, boy. Did you not understand me? You need to paint a picture of the knife you're pointing at, and then I'll talk about it.
Okay, yes, right. Talk about that one. It doesn't even have a blade.
And?
It's kind of wooden looking, but it doesn't have a blade, and there's a metal ring on it.
This is going to be rough. Yikes. Okay, say it's wooden and has a ring on it. It does, however, have a blade. It's a Boy Scout pocket knife. See? The blade folds out like this. I cut myself.
Oh, ooh. My God.
Nothing,
oh my God,
big.
You're bleeding.
I'm going to need a Band-Aid. No biggie.
Wait, are you okay?
It's nothing. Barely got the skin. Keep going.
So you were in the Boy Scouts?
Of course I was. It's a wonderful, time-honored institution that teaches young boys to be men through camping and woodcraft and first aid and bird watching. I was an Eagle Scout, for your information.
Is that special?
It's a very big deal, yes.
So that's not really a rare knife.
Not really, but it does have an interesting story behind it. I joined the Boy Scouts when I was about 9. I'd been a Cub Scout, of course, so the transition was fairly easy. I waited with heart-pounding anticipation all summer long for our first big inter-troop jamboree. Every troop from the whole state would be there, and not just the 20 boys in my troop, but thousands of eager young scouts. Our scoutmaster was a man's man who knew everything about camping and boating and making fires. We called him Mr. Safely, because if you ever were doing something dangerous, he would come up from behind and hug you real tight to keep you safe. Anyway, one night after we had roasted marshmallows and told scary stories, everyone went to bed. Mr. Safely asked if I could come to his tent before going to bed. It was something a lot of the boys did and was considered a real honor. There was something he wanted to show me.
Maybe we can cut this story short. It just doesn't seem like such a good idea.
Anyway, I got in my PJs and I went off to Mr. Safely's tent. He had a big tent filled with candy and magazines and cool stuff, and he offered me a candy and asked if I had a girlfriend.
Oh, come on, Ron.
Then he said he had something he wanted to show me, something he was hiding in his shorts. He told me to close my eyes, and then I heard some rustling. When I opened my eyes, guess what was sticking right in my face?
A wiener?
Huh? What? A wiener? No! No, you dummy! This pocket knife!
Oh my god!
A wiener? Where did you get that from? No, he gave me my very first pocket knife.
That buildup was...
Yeah, he gave him out to all the boys that were doing good. A wiener.
It's just you hear these stories about these scoutmasters.
I don't know what kind of stories you're talking about. Pick another knife. Wiener. Really? Mr. Safely? Seriously. Here. Pick
okay.
another knife.
Okay, that one.
Describe it.
It's long. It has leather and it's some jewels
on
it.
Ho, 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 ho. Carolina, you really cannot paint a picture, can you? That's called a gladius, and it's actually a short Roman sword, or sometimes referred to incorrectly as a dagger. I have daggers, hundreds of daggers, and this is no dagger. Ha ha ha! The leather case is called a scabbard. And believe me, you need the case because these things are two-sided and very sharp. This one I paid a pretty penny for.
How much?
I bought it for around $14,000. Yep. The jewels encrusted on the handles alone are worth maybe $1 million.
$1 million?
I said maybe. Who knows? But pay attention to the intricate details on the blade. When I take it out of the scabbard... Gosh darn it, I cut myself again.
That one looks really bad.
Ooh, it smarts. Okay. It really does. Anyway, woo!
Oh.
Ah, that's a beautiful knife and very sharp. That's a sharp knife. Woo! Pick another one.
What's the rusty old one there?
Don't just point.
Well, it's long and kind of rusty and has a weird crooked looking handle.
What you're looking at is not the handle, but a clip for sticking on the end of a gun. It's called a bayonet, and was used in this nation's bloodiest war, the Civil War.
Why would you put a knife on a gun? Wouldn't you just shoot the gun?
It was used in tight hand-to-hand combat, when men were upon each other so thick in battle that a loaded gun was useless. Many men died from the steel of a bayonet like this one.
Oh.
Oh, Carolina.
What?
The vengeance that lurks in the black bosom of mankind has caused untold miseries over the centuries. What evil doth men doeth in the name of righteous valor? A blood-red history is writ large upon the winds of time. Here inscribed in this bayonet lies the deadly cost of our shameful wickedness.
Okay, so how does it go in a gun?
Simple. You grab the bayonet here, and you make sure not to touch the blade.
Don't. Oh.
Ow. I got myself again. More Band-Aids, please.
Let's just stop. Let's stop.
Here, pick that one.
Okay, tell me something about that knife. It looks like a butter knife.
It is a butter knife. And as you know, butter knives are not sharp. They are for spreading butter on toast. I swiped this butter knife from a fancy 5-star seafood restaurant called The Red Lobster. It's pure silver and worth quite a lot of money. The restaurant closed down some time ago, so I don't think they'll be coming after me.
Really? I think there are Red Lobsters everywhere.
Well, I'm sure you don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's a chain. There are thousands of them.
Agree to disagree. Anyway, it's a one-of-a-kind butter knife from the... Ah! Oh, hard to believe it, but I just cut myself with a butter knife.
Your hands are looking really bad.
It's normal. Whenever I show my knife collection, I get cut up. It can't be helped. Moving on.
What's the round thing with like 5 knives coming out of it?
Ah, yes. It's a Japanese throwing star. One of the deadliest silent killers in all of combat. My friend, Ken Yoshimoto, sold that to me for $10,000. Its lineage is uncertain, but goes back to the earliest days of the samurai warriors. Don't pick that up!
It says made in China here on this side, right here. That sticker?
As was true, I'm sure. Some of the best metalsmiths from the 12th century were from mainland China. Put it down carefully, Carolina. Each blade is its own meticulously sharpened knife.
I thought maybe I should hold the knives from now on.
Don't be an idiot. Give me that.
I don't want to.
Give it to me now. Shh.
You
cut me that time. That's on you.
Can we quit?
No. Pick another knife. I'm sure everyone is interested.
Are you okay?
Pig one.
You're a little white. Okay, that one, that looks like a metal bat.
It's called a karambit knife. It's a tactical knife for... I've lost a lot of blood.
Oh, my God.
I can see it now. It's an old dirt road leading to a little country church. I want to go there, Carolina. It looks beautiful.
Run!
Carolina, what are you doing here? Why are you in this white room? My head feels like a spongy balloon.
We need to get a medic in here.
I like boobies.
Hurry!
Look at all these knives.
No!
The Ron Burgundy Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Ron Burgundy, the host, writer, and executive producer. Carolina Barlow is my co-host, writer, and producer. Our producer is Nick Stumpf. Our talent coordinator is Anna Hosnier. Our writers are Andrew Steele and Jake Vogelnest. This episode was engineered, mixed, and edited by Nick Stumpf. Until next time, this is Ron Burgundy.